Hello, I'm Talia.
I'm Dahlia.
And I'm Aya.
And you're listening to
Constitution Conversations.
So on today's episode, we will be addressing different views on our newest burning question. Should the federal government or the state government have the ability to regulate corporate practices in order to protect our environment? So to go into the history of this, in the U.S., state and federal governments are involved in the complicated matter of regulating company emissions. In general, both governmental levels have the power to control some parts of emissions, albeit the exact circumstances and the pollutants in issue will determine how much power each level has. Under statutes like the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act, the federal government, principally through the EPA, can control several elements of emissions, including greenhouse gases. Natural emission standards are frequently established by federal rules, and they are standardized nationwide. When it comes to contaminants like air pollution that may transcend state boundaries, this is very crucial. For specific sectors and pollutants, the federal government has the authority to set emission limits, permit requirements, and other criteria. States have the power to control emissions and create their own environmental standards and regulations, some of which have been more stringent than the federal requirements. In addition to having rules that address regional environmental problems, states are frequently in charge of implementing and upholding federal laws inside their borders. For facilities within their control, states have the authority to provide licenses and establish precise emission limitations. The federal and the state government work together in some situations, with the EPA establishing minimum requirements and the states free to enact stricter laws to address regional environmental issues.
So, as many Americans know, the problem of pollution and climate change is worsening by the minute, and without the help of the federal government, I personally doubt we'll be able to stop such a large problem without nationwide regulation of corporate emissions. And besides, corporations have a major effect on our economy, and therefore, I believe they should fall under the Commerce Clause for federal control. Without the help of the federal government, many states may just refuse to help. However, we can already see that the federal government does care and would help if it was granted the power to. For example, the EPA, a federally established agency, has already passed laws such as the Clean Air Act, which have done some good towards improving our environment, but it's still not nearly enough.
Wait a minute, if we're bringing up the EPA, let's talk about that Supreme Court case in May, where the courts ruled against the Environmental Protection Agency, saying that they were overstepping what they were allowed to do as a federal agency.
So for some context about this case, the EPA was trying to federally regulate carbon emissions. The Supreme Court argued that the major question doctrine shows that agencies are not allowed to make transformational changes to the economy unless Congress agrees to do it. Congress had not agreed to this new regulation.
Exactly. Federal agencies are overstepping by creating umbrella regulations against carbon emissions. As the 10th Amendment states, quote, "The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. The power to protect the health of the people and the environment is not given to the federal government. In fact, if we look past that original 10th Amendment and look to the 14th Amendment, this point is further proven. A simple explanation of this amendment comes from Lawrence A. Gostin, he's a lawyer, and his article titled Public Health Law in the New Century, where he explains that police powers, which are from the 14th Amendment, enable states to preserve the public health in areas ranging from injury and disease, prevention to sanitation, waste disposal, and environmental protection. Although emissions and poor corporate environmental policies do affect the country as a whole, their direct effects can be felt as a local and state level, leaving the people suffering as climate change is linked to public health. States should be allowed to limit carbon emissions because of these 14th and 10th Amendments.
But what about the economic perspective? The biggest emitters of emissions are natural gas and coal, making up over 50% of emissions, according to the Energy Justice Network. But this energy is imperative for running our economy. From transportation to industry and agriculture, energy is the backbone for everything in the U.S. It affects our economies, and therefore, the Commerce Clause states economic activity is regulated by the federal government.
Then what about the major questions doctrine, which says that if there's transformational changes to the economy by federal agencies, those cannot happen without consulting Congress first?
Listeners, for context, this is the doctrine used by the Supreme Court against the EPA.
We should remember this case was the first time the major questions doctrine was ever used, and the doctrine itself may still be questioned, so it shouldn't be the end-all say-all.
I mean, that's a valid point, but as long as this major question doctrine stays standing, agencies like the EPA won't be able to pass their strict regulation through Congress. Their efforts will be fruitless. It's better to allocate the power to fight climate change to the states and local governments. These governments can be more specific and personal in tackling the issue and should be regulating these corporate activities that affect our environment.
Well, you say that state and local governments will be better in regulating these emissions, but there's a large underlying issue. Some state governments will simply refuse to do so. For example, look at Florida. They spent years refusing to sign off on passing the Inflation Reduction Act to reduce pollution and prevent climate change. And now, they faced much more extreme and heightened climate disasters, such as Hurricane Ian. What would you suggest as a solution to states who refuse to cooperate with movements toward protecting our environment and harm it by doing so?
It's always in the interest of the state to help the people within the state. So although some places such as Florida are currently resisting environmental movements, I think they will eventually be obligated to do so. Like I said in the 14th Amendment, these states are obligated to protect the health and well-being of their own citizens. So once climate change starts becoming a greater, more prominent issue, I think these states will catch on.
Personally, I think only time can tell.
Wow, that's so much good discussion from both sides, but what does it all really mean? Now that you've had the chance to hear both sides, do you think the national or the state government should decide on the issue of negative corporate practices regarding climate change? Does the 14th Amendment give this power to the state level, or does the Commerce Clause give it to the federal level? Although both sides have good points, it is generally agreed that working together between federal and state governments is the most efficient method to handle environmental protection. Political boundaries do not apply to environmental challenges, and not all businesses and areas can benefit from a one-size-fits-all solution. State governments are frequently better suited to comprehend the particular economic and environmental adversary that exists within their borders. To address local issues, they ought to have some autonomy in regulating business activities. Simultaneously, the federal government is essential in establishing national environmental standards and guidelines that guarantee a minimum degree of safety throughout the whole nation. Additionally, it can help states coordinate, especially when there are environmental issues that cut across state lines. So in the end, it is critical to strike the correct balance between federal and state authorities when it comes to environmental protection. There is an agreement to support a flexible and cooperative strategy in which both branches of government collaborate to protect our environment while taking into consideration regional differences and broader national interests. The strategy can support innovation and economic progress whilst assisting in environmental conservation. But as a consumer, you have power too. Everyone can work on their sustainable practices individually so we can all come together and make a difference. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of
Constitution Conversations.
Join us next time.
And have a great day.